guys, welcome back to Let God Podcast. You're here with me, I am Bear.
Me, Mary Hannah.
And me, Winipa.
We're back with another episode. Today we're going to be talking about dealing with guilt and forgiving yourself and just how you deal with God's forgiveness and your forgiveness of yourself, especially for certain sins or just when you're disappointed in yourself. But first, we are going to pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we get to be in your presence and just discuss forgiveness and guilt and how we navigate that. And I pray that as we're honest and share about our own experiences and where we are in terms of how we see ourselves and how we understand that how we understand your forgiveness, that you'd be seen and heard through this conversation, and that you would just help this topic to glorify you, Father, and also be used to edify not only ourselves but those who listen to us. We thank you for this platform and just for the opportunity that we have to talk about you and just be honest about where we're at. In your name I pray, amen.
So as always, we always start with our icebreaker. So today's icebreaker is, which artist, dead or alive, would you pay large amounts of money to watch or to see in concert?
I'm going to just start off with saying this. And me and Winnie were discussing this just before the recording started. I feel like this is very generic to say. But I honestly, hand on heart, think Beyonce's Homecoming might be one of the best live shows of all ever time. on.
Period. And let me tell you,
I would pay at least £1,000 to be in Coachella in that 2017.
At least, as if you would not pay any less than $1,000 for what she did.
No, guys, because if you actually deep, like, the way that was put together, the transitions, it was sensational. The feature, Solange, Jay-Z, we will not talk about him, but you know, Destiny's Child, the singers, the dancers, the choir. Exceptional, sensational scenes.
Is even the band.
The right. band? Oh, out of this world. Out just of this world.
Everything.
I just thought it was sensational.
Sensational.
But apart from Beyonce, who else? I don't know.
I mean, I feel like it's very cliche, but I would... Okay, I have a few answers, but one of them would definitely have to be Michael Jackson. Just because, I mean, genuinely think that he's one of the greatest, like, performers of all time. And just also, aside from being able to see his, like, singing and dancing in real life, is like the way you see his crowds used to, like, people used to, like, pass out and cry and stuff. Like, I'm here for all that drama. Like, I want to see that. Like, I want to be there.
I don't know, quite hard, because I don't really listen to you, well, I didn't really, like, grow up listen to Michael Jackson and all of them, and I don't believe in paying money to see humans. So
she said, no, you just said like me
there. She said something there. But wait a minute, where are you going in November?
Miss Kurt?
Yeah,
going to see.
Yeah, you're the fakest person in America. You live
but
fake,
like, not
life.
Not copious.
No, because that typically, that those tickets were cheap, like shockingly affordable.
Okay, fair.
But if it could be, like, any artist, I'd quite want to see Ty Tribbett in concert.
Oh, yeah, he'd be a good performer.
He seems like he'll be an all Kirk Franklin. They have, like, the same
Kirk
energy.
Franklin, period.
Yeah.
That's so true.
I just had another
Kirk Franklin and Family.
Oh, yeah, that'd be incredible, yeah.
Or Donald Lawrence.
And when he has, and, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
And the Tri-City.
Tri-City.
That's it.
They would kill it.
Ooh, actually, Kirk Carr.
Really?
Kirk Carr and the Kirk Carr. What they call the Kirk Carr Singers.
Kirk Carr Singers.
She said the Kirk Carr. Kirk Carr Choir.
Kirk Carr Choir.
He didn't even call them and my choir. He just
said, Kirk Carr and the Kirk Carr Singers. No, he would be incredible.
There are a lot of people. The thing is, there are a lot of people that we were saying, like, they're vocalists. So people who would just sing out of this world, and then performers. Like, for me as a vocalist, somebody that I don't know if I'd pay big money to see her, but I'd pay money, like, I'd buy her ticket in a, like, drop of a hat, Brandy. I would. I just think Brandy's performances are just out of this world. I think her voice is just out of this world. But as a performer, like, she doesn't carry necessarily the same stage presence as like Kirk Franklin or Beyonce or somebody else.
Right,
So it's
right.
kind of tricky. There's like a lot of people I'd love to see, to be honest.
I hear that. Actually, one big one for me would be Maverick City music, but I'm going to see them next year in
I
at Church
really.
Day Out. Yeah.
Oh, that's
I will
amazing.
not be camping though, if anyone was wondering. I will be in an Airbnb because I don't do
Okay, I was
nature.
wondering where would
Yeah, I
you
was thinking
be?
like, babe, camping's not really camping. Yeah, it's not. It's not me. But yeah, I just think that would be like an overall, like, you get the music, the vocals, especially like Naomi, her Naomi Rain,
voice,
yeah.
crazy,
Beautiful.
redonk. And then also like the live worship experience. I'm
That'd be
here for
beautiful.
that. Yeah.
That'd be beautiful.
Yeah.
They're in Atlanta like in a couple of weeks, actually.
Oh, really?
But I won't be here, so that means absolutely nothing.
That this Cambridge has done you dirty.
No, really. Every time fun things are happening in Atlanta, I'm literally not here.
No,
It's
for
very
real.
sad.
For real. Even Miss CC. Miss CC
Literally,
Wine
CeCe
is.
Wines is coming here with Kira Sheard and friends. They even said and friends. Only
And
God
friends.
knows the people who will be there. And I will be in Cambridge. Can you imagine?
Slugging
That is an
away
insult. Can you imagine?
for a paper. Oh my gosh, let me not get into it.
Know which concert I'm still so sad about is Nathaniel Bassi.
Oh my
Bro.
gosh.
You know how much pain that day was. He
Remember
trekked
that.
through the rain.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Trying to get I remember that. That's a hazy memory to me. 2020, right? Was that 2020? Yeah.
Wait, it happened.
No, it didn't. But
Yeah, it
remember,
didn't
even to get the
happen.
tickets, because I remember somebody walked. Because we were at an event. This was at uni, because we were all together. We were at some sort of event at some point. And when I,
No.
No.
No, when we get the ticket, we had the meeting.
You got tickets, but it got cancelled.
Yeah.
Sorry, you. I didn't even
Because of
get them in the first
COVID.
place, so
No, we
when
didn't
I
get
saw
them.
it
We
was
didn't get
cancelled.
them.
Yeah, us two didn't get them because I remember I was at something at Medwards.
Like, we were all in different places.
Yeah,
That's what I'm saying. Like, it
we were
was.
dispersed. But yeah, I saw the cancellation. I didn't feel bad. I said, well, you know, the Lord says he has plans to prosper me and not to harm me, to cast down my enemies. I said, don't he do
You're
it?
bad.
He said he
You're
would.
bad. You're bad.
Love, love.
Oh, that was a lovely opener.
It was indeed.
So, as I said earlier, we're going to be talking about dealing with guilt and forgiveness. And I think the first thing to kickstart, I'll ask the girls, is how have you dealt with feelings of guilt in the past? Or what do you feel like, how does guilt manifest to you, type of thing?
Well, for me, I would say like guilt is one of the biggest things that has at different points hindered my walk with God, because I always get locked into this pattern of thinking, which I know is inaccurate and toxic, and I know it's definitely like the devil trying to play me, to draw me further away from God. But like whenever I feel like I mess up, in my head I'm like, oh my gosh, that was so bad of me, especially if it's something that I was like, I know I shouldn't have done that, or it's like I promised God I was gonna not do this thing anymore, and then I do it. And then in my head, I'm like, oh, God is so angry with me. He doesn't want to speak to me. And then it will be a thing of, I feel so ashamed to even pray. I can't read my Bible because I feel so awkward and upset. And like, even when I like do muster up enough strength to pray and like ask for forgiveness, in my head I'm like, oh, surely God hasn't actually forgiven me for this, because like I can barely forgive myself, so how could he? And then it kind of like sets me back, because you know, when we do stuff, our natural instinct is to run away from God, when it probably like it should be to run to God and, you know, lean into his grace. But yeah, it's definitely something I think eats up a lot of Christians, and the devil certainly knows how to do a nasty work using that particular emotion.
Yeah, I completely agree with what Manipa said. I think that's like somewhere that we find our like as a general point in terms of guilt. Like, I think a lot of Christians or believers feel the same. I know I've definitely feel this felt the same, but I think like my experience with guilt varies a little bit, because I think I tend to like ruminate on like social interactions. So I think sometimes like who I want to be, or my perception of who I should be, like whether, like as a child of God, yes, that's what I'm trying to say, and like my behavior sometimes clash, and not in a sort of way that like it's sinful. It's just like I'm hyper aware of like, oh, maybe I could have said that better. I hope that wasn't misconstrued. I didn't mean to upset that person if they were upset. Like, you know, when you like read into people's social cues or like, you know, they're like changes in mannerisms or like demeanor, and you're like, oh no, I've done something wrong. That's how my guilt sometimes manifests. And sometimes like I'm fully in the wrong, like it is like something sinful, meaning like I've acted contrary to like what I know I should have done as a child of God. But other times it's just like me over deeping things, and so it then becomes a tension of like me wanting to be like the best version of me that I can be, but also like realizing that like sometimes I'm holding myself to kind of like standards that shouldn't be there in the first place. Not because it's not right to want to be a child of God, but it's like who you are is, I don't know how to say this, who you are in a moment when you've welcomed God into that moment is who you are. So you can't like keep on second guessing what that moment was or what that interaction was. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you shared the gospel, you shared the gospel. Or if you were honest about something God wanted you to be honest about, then that's what you did and you were obedient. You can't like there and, or you shouldn't go back and like criticize every moment of that interaction because it's not like what you think you should have been. I hope that makes sense.
I think sometimes with me it was like lack of action, like when you know the Bible says like the those who know like the right thing and they don't do it is still a sin. So it's, yeah, sometimes a lack of action and then just overthinking things, kind of similar to Mary Hannah. But I think one thing that I've found peace with is just knowing that I can't use my standards for God. Like a lot of time people say, well, I'm an empath, I like to get in other people's head, but like sometimes you just make assumptions on what people think, and you might think you've done something and they're feeling so bad and they just hate your guts, and then you actually speak to the person and they don't even clock anything. But even like you, and then it's kind of the same thing but on a larger scale with God. Like, how can you imagine that someone who let people kill his son on purpose, and you think because you woke up a few minutes late and didn't pray is what he's gonna cause to banish you to hell?
Yeah, that's
I
good.
think sometimes, I think in lots of different cases, even like outside this topic, we like to put human expectations and human standards on God, and it limits him. Sorry, and it limits him and puts, and then it just hurts you.
No, that's so true.
And also, just to follow up on that point, I think ultimately, like struggling to forgive yourself, it just doesn't start with you judging yourself harshly. I think the root of that is maybe not really deepening who God is or what God has done, and not fully accepting grace, you know, as a gift. And I think the way humans are, it's like because we could never imagine being that gracious to other people, because it's how can you love people who like hate you and disrespect you all the time? Do you know what I mean? We kind of put that expectation on God as well, and we forget that like his love is literally like unfathomable in human terms. You know what I mean? And just also, do we take God at his word? I think that's another thing, because that's one thing I really struggle with, is like I read passages that say, you know, like God forgives, like not only forgives but forgets our sin as well. But then I'm like, but God, you're omnipotent, so I know you'd be remembering things. You know what I mean? But it's like, if God has told me that he's forgiven me for this sin and genuinely like it's all good and I just want to spend time with you, it's like sometimes I have difficulty trusting that. And I know that doesn't start with me messing up. It starts with what's my relationship with God ultimately and my understanding of him.
No, that's so good. I think two things on what you said. For me, I think at least how I, in my experiences of guilt, which is similar to what you girls have shared and what I also shared, like, I think God has shown me where I've been able to pinpoint it. That sometimes, for me at least, it's like pride in terms of like thinking that I know myself better than God knows me. So like how I should behave or how I should do things is better than like who God has called me to be.
Right.
I hope that makes sense. So it's just
Right.
like I start to feel guilty when I'm, well, it goes to one of two ways. I start to feel guilty when I've done something not how I think I should have done it, and so I'm like, oh, I maybe not guilt is not the right word, but like I'm embarrassed or I'm like overthinking that moment. Or it's like I know I should have done something as specific, like how God wanted me to do it, and I failed to do that. And so I don't know. I just feel like sometimes being humble enough to be like, first, God knows me more than I know myself, and like who He's called me to be in that, in a specific moment, is just like who I'm going to be, and I don't have to put any other limits or questions or standards on it. Just allow myself to be who God has called me to be in that moment and just like enjoy that. And then also, as Vinipa said, like extending the same grace that God encourages us to extend to others, to ourselves. I think we do, like, we don't really hear much about that. Well, at least I don't really hear much about that, but I think it's something that God has been like teaching me recently. Like, you, like, I don't want to make mistakes. I think, like, deep in the fact that like people are go like have fin most of my friends have finished uni and people are like starting work and like becoming adults has made me realize, oh, I am an adult now, like I can't be doing stupid stuff. As though I still do stupid stuff, like you got to be serious. And so that means like I feel like for me, I've just put less limits on like what mistakes I can make, and not mistakes in terms of like, oh, how much can I sin. I mean like just being human, because it's like I'm an adult now, like my time is money, like the things that the money that I have is actually like earned now or whatever, like it's not, it's an, I can't treat it frivolously. And so that means that like I haven't even, I guess I've put more human standards on what I think my life should be like. And so when I don't measure up to that, I feel guilty, or when I, you know, fail in whatever way, it becomes a whole thing. But then it's just like the same grace that you would want your friends to extend to themselves when they like make a mistake, and you're like, babe, it's okay, like you're still growing or you're still like learning, it's fine. Like that should also be the same grace that you extend to yourself. And there's this verse in Romans 5 that I love, and I'm reading from the ESV version. It's Romans 5:20, and it says, now the law came in to increase the trespass, or to like increase the measure of sin. But where sin increased, grace
Grace
abounded all the
abounded.
more. And I love that verse, because it's just like, I guess sometimes it's just like you can see God's grace as like vast, but still having a cap. But like God's grace is kind of like exponential. Like it's infinitely more than whatever sin you can commit, have committed, or will commit, you know? And it's like God's grace is not only, it's not that it is continually making space for us, like it just always has been making space for us, like since the beginning of time, if that makes sense.
And also MH, that really reminded me of a verse which I love, Psalm 103, verse 12. And the NIV says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And it's kind of like, you know, sometimes you read stuff and you're like, oh, you know, that's cute, that's a really nice, you know, almost like a biblical sound bite, something you can just like rattle off or like repeat to yourself. But I was having a study with one of my elders the other week, and he was like, if you think about it, like east and west on a compass, like will never meet. Like if someone continues walking east and someone continues like walking west, like because the earth is round, like you just keep going round and round. And he was like, do you realize that that means like that's how far God has removed our transgressions from us? Like it's infinite, there's
That's
no
amazing.
cap. And that just really touched me so deeply, that realization. And another thing, MH, you were saying about putting almost additional human standards, or kind of striving for this level of human perfection that we then think is acceptable to bring before God. That's kind of how I interpreted it. And I went through a series of Bible studies with my church, which was like so enlightening and really amazing, about the Old and the New Covenants. And I had always kind of thought about it as like, oh, the Old Covenant is the law that was given to Moses, and it's kind of like kind of obsolete, but also not, but also we're not really sure which bits still apply, but that's a whole other thing in itself. And the New Covenant is like basically now that Jesus has died. But these lessons were kind of explaining that it's not necessarily accurate to think about the Old and New Covenant as historical markers, because then it would in some way imply that the issue was with God, and that he made a mistake, like, and then he needed to make something new to like replace that. But it was the human response to God's law, because the Bible says, you know, God's law is, it never changes because God never changes. Mm-hmm. And so when we think about the old and new covenants as experiences, the way we respond to God, his love, his promises, and his law, if we have an old covenant mindset, that kind of is like, I need to follow everything to a T, and I need to be perfect, and I need to be blameless, and that's how that's the only way I'll be able to present myself before God. Mm-hmm. But a new covenant experience, sorry, you know when the stuff builds, a new covenant experience is a recognition that Jesus paid it all, and that doesn't mean that I can do whatever I want and just keep running back and doing my own thing, but it means that I literally don't have the capacity in my own flesh to fulfill the law myself, and that's why Jesus had to do it for me. And that also means that if I want to do good things, I have to welcome the Spirit to be with me, and then my actions will flow from his presence. It's not a thing I need to sort myself out and bring myself perfect, because that's not possible. And a new covenant experience also recognizes, like, when God looks at me, he sees me as the person he created me to be. He loves me, like, as his child primarily, not because of what I've done, because he loved me before I was. He will love me after I am. He loves me right now. Good. Like, God exists outside of time, and his love isn't determined by what you do.
Yeah, so, I love that. And one Bible passage that comes to mind is John 3:17, which says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And God it doesn't exist to punish you for every bad thing you do, or is not waiting for you to slip up so he can say, "Oh, I told you so." Like, he's not an accuser. Basically, our relationship with God isn't one of always slipping up and always trying to always like a fight type of thing. And I think even though people have different relationships with their earthly parents, so I think especially in the Christendom, it can be quite hard to for people to imagine like a loving father if they haven't seen such a thing in earthly figures. But I think God is love, and I don't know how how easy that can be to imagine, but he is just a ball of love, and he doesn't want us to be apart from him. And the thing with guilt and like not forgiving yourself in this sense is that you've basically put your relationship with him at a standstill, because he's waiting with his arms open to like to just comfort you and to get closer to you, but you're the one putting the distance in between you and him, because you think that he doesn't love you or that he hasn't forgiven you, and that just puts a lot more strain and a lot more stress on you than needs to be.
I love that. And when you think about like what love actually is, and like this is something that I've been like grappling with recently, because I kind of realized a lot of the things I was kind of struggling with in my Christian walk, or the things I was struggling to understand about God, were maybe stemming from the fact that I didn't understand what his love means. And so I've kind of been on a bit of a journey trying to unpack that, and I haven't figured it out completely. But I think often when we think of love, our knee-jerk is to say like, oh, it's something that you feel. But I have realized, and you know, through people like giving me their perspective as well, that like love is more than just a feeling. I don't even know if it's a feeling at all. It's like a conscious choice. It's like a decision that you make for someone. And when you realize like that God loves you, not just like, oh, because he's feeling it one day, or because, you know, he feels like you're a good person, or that God's love towards you is able to even be affected in that way. Once you realize like he made a conscious decision to send Jesus to die for you, and he makes a conscious decision to love you and to continue seeking that relationship with you. And even the fact that like, and this might sound kind of weird, but even the fact that you feel the guilt in the first place, to me, it's like an indicator like God hasn't just like left you to your devices and is like, well, this person is a lost cause. I don't know for them. Do you know what I mean? It's like the fact that you're even aware that there's something there that needs to be fixed somehow shows that God is actively choosing to love you still, like he always has been. And then where we often fall down is like we can respond to that guilt in different ways. And my response and most people's response is often to just be like, I need to fix it myself, but that's literally impossible. So you just like, you know, you run away from it all.
There's a verse in Hebrews 4:15-16. This is the NLT, and I had it bookmarked under guilt and shame in my little Bible app. And it says, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he, meaning Jesus, faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. And I think that thing of like coming boldly before God is so important, because I think sort of our perception, our meaning, like believers in general, our perception of like God and like sin can make it sometimes feel like that, yeah, like the worse that you do, the less God loves you, and if not the less God loves you, like the less right, in quotation marks, you have to even like talk to God or show your face before him. But I love what that verse says, as I said, about coming boldly to God's gracious throne. And I think like the enemy, at least in my life, I feel like the enemy has used like my own beef with like guilt and myself to like keep me away from God, or the like I've done the work, like the work for Satan, if that makes sense.
Right.
And being like, I don't even want to deal with talking to God about that, because like I just feel so bad. So like I'm just not going to talk to God, and I'm just going to go on with my day. It's like,
maybe if I don't say anything to him, he won't know.
literally me. And I just be like, you know what? Thank you, God, for waking me up. Bye. You know, like that's like literally how.
You better than me, child. I don't be saying a single thing.
Yeah, I just do like, thank you for waking me up, just in case.
Literally, like, in case it's my last day.
He decides not to.
Tomorrow, let me just at least secure my place in the heavenly realm.
At least I know I'm going to go out on a prayer and a whim, child. A prayer and a whim.
No, guys, but on a serious note. Yeah, I think sometimes we just do the work for the enemy and being like, I can't come to God. And I feel like everybody's talked about this at some point or heard a sermon about this at some point of how, like, you know, you got to come to God as you are. But I think that's like really, really like important. And I think one thing about guilt, at least one thing that I learned about God in like the past like quarter of the year or so, is like God, unlike us and like unlike our earthly relationships, although as Ianfa said, like understanding a loving parent relationship is a really good way of understanding like our relationship with God. Unlike godly relationships, like God does not move because of sentiment. So like God's heart might be broken about something, but it's not because of God's broken heart that he moves. It's because of God's like principle. It's like it's because of who God is, and like God being faithful like to who he says he is means that like we can always trust in him, if that makes sense. Because it's like, so in as much as like having, using the relationship or using the analogy of like how we respond to loving parents is really good, I think the difference is in like the fact that if you do something to your parents and they respond back to you, their response is possibly going to be based on how you treated them. So like if I was rude to my parents and they respond in a moment in anger, like anger is what they used to respond to me, and as much as they may love me as their parent, they responded in anger. Whereas like our relationship with God is, as much as we may do something to hurt God, it's not that God is responding in anger, although he loves us. Like, he's responding in his love, period. Like, if that makes sense. Yeah, in spite of how you made him feel. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's where things are a little bit different. And so it's just like, when I think about God as my like heavenly father, my heavenly parent, I think that's a nuance that we have to like, so I hate the word nuance. I can't believe I used it. But like, that's something that we've got. We gotta like keep that in mind, because it's just like we think about the people that we love, but even the people that we love has shortcomings. Like if you mess me up, I can mess you up right back, even though I love you. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And I have to come and apologize. But like if I mess God up, or if I got God messed up, it's not gonna be like because I've got God messed up, he's gonna respond to me in anger. He's gonna respond to me like in love. in spite of like me, the fact that I transgressed like his holy law, if that makes sense. And so that's something to keep in mind, because it's not like God's gonna be like, and so you're back here again. Did you see what you did? X, Y, Z, and da 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 da. You going to hell? And I mean, God doesn't. I don't think God really says nobody's going to hell like that. But you know, just like how we dramatize God in our head. But it's just like God's like, okay, so how are we gonna do this better? Like what you did was wrong, but like, so what's next? You know what I mean? Because we can't live here. Like there's a whole world to save. Like there's a world that needs Jesus. So like we can't be here in our, in this forever. Do you know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I've just remembered something as well that made me think of, like, it's a parable that is talked about so much, but like it's so important and like so deep, is the prodigal son. Mm-hmm. And just like there's so much like symbolism even within the story, like small details that point to God's love for us and like really reflect how we feel when we feel guilty or that we can't forgive ourselves. For example, the fact that when the son eventually decided that he was going to come back home, he wanted to come with his head bowed. He wanted to be treated like a servant because he didn't think that he deserved anything more than that. But when his father welcomed him back, he gave him a robe, he gave him sandals, and he gave him a ring, I think it is, that he gave him. And like a ring, a signet ring signifies identity. It was like he was restoring his identity. A robe is something that you give to like royal or stately people, and you know what I mean? He wasn't saying like, oh, come back with your head bowed in shame because you messed up and da 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 da. He was saying like, no, I'm out here on the front porch, I've been waiting for you, and like I want to restore you to where you have been. Like all I need is for you to take that step and come home. And I think this points to like a bigger issue of like we go through life with this view or this metric of what's deserved and what's not deserved. And I think it's why I find a lot of things difficult about the world in general, because I like one thing that's really been bothering me, for example, is like wealth disparity. And I'm just like, what, like this person didn't deserve to be born into abject poverty. Like, why are they, this person didn't deserve to be born to a line of billionaires, da 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 da. That's because I feel like we have such a dessert focused approach to things. And so it's like when we mess up in our personal lives, it like our instinct is to think, I deserve punishment, I deserve something bad to happen to me, or I deserve to be cut off for this. And maybe if someone did that thing to us in earthly terms, we would think they deserve to be da 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 da. But the whole point is like God doesn't operate that way. In fact, like his way of operating is the complete opposite. Like we get what we don't deserve. We have been given grace in spite of ourselves. Like, bro, we crucified Jesus and he died for the same people that were crucifying him, you know? And so, like, when you realize that everything is flipped on its head like that, you kind of deep that, okay, maybe I can pray, you know? Maybe God kind of maybe potentially wants to hear from me. You know, I think once you have that kind of experience, and it's one thing to hear it, but then to actually like feel that and to really have that epiphany moment, I think it's just such a beautiful side of God to uncover. But it's difficult to keep that part uncovered all the time, because trust me, like once I mess up again, I'm like, whoop, there goes me forgetting who God is again. Like I'm so random, I can't believe I forgot who God is again. But yeah.
No, that's good.
So guys, we hope that you've enjoyed this podcast episode where we've talked about guilt and shame, but also forgiveness and freedom. And if there's one thing you take away from this, just remember that who the Son says free is free indeed.
Amen.
And not to dwell in the things which you feel aren't good enough about yourself, but go to the only one who can do the fixing for you. So yeah, if as always, if you have any questions or episode requests, please send them to us on our anonymous Google form. Follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Thank you so much for 5K followers on Spotify. We really appreciate it. Like, we honestly can't believe the mazzoline that God is doing in our little podcast.
A mazzoline.
The mazzoline. But yeah, thanks for listening, and we will see you in a couple of weeks.
Bye.
Bye, guys. Bye.